नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय तस्यात्मतंत्रस्य हरेरादि सीतु तस्यात्मतंत्रस्य हरेरादि सीतु पारस्य मायाधिपते महात्मनः आत्मतंत्रस्य बीइंग सेल्फ सफिशिएंट नॉट डिपेंडेंट ऑन एनी अदर पर्सन हरे द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड अदिशीतु हु इज मास्टर ऑफ एवरीथिंग पारस्य The transcendence. Maya Adipate. The master of the illusory energy. Mahatmana. Of the supreme soul. Prayena. Almost. Duta. The order carriers. Deha. In this world. Why? Indeed. Manohara. Pleasing in their dealings and bodily features. Charanti. They move. Tad. Of him. Rupa. Possessing the bodily features. Guna. The transcendental qualities. Svabhava and nature. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is self-sufficient and fully independent. He is a master of everyone and everything, including the illusory energy. He has His form, qualities and features. Similarly, His order carriers, the Vaishnavas, who are very beautiful, possesses bodily features, transcendental qualities and a transcendental nature almost like his. They always wander within this world with full independence. Purpose. Yamaraja was describing the Supreme Personality of God as the Supreme Controller, but the order carriers of Yamaraja were very eager to know about the Vishnu Dutas, who had defeated them in their encounter with Ajamila. Yamaraja therefore stated that the Vishnu Dutas resemble the Supreme Personality of Godhead in their bodily features, transcendental qualities and nature. In other words, the Vishnu Dutas or Vaishnavas are almost as qualified as the Supreme Lord. Yamaraja informed the Yamadutas that the Vishnu Dutas are no less powerful than the Lord Vishnu. Since Vishnu is above Yamaraj, the Vishnu Dutas are above the Yamadutas. Persons protected by the Vishnu Dutas, therefore, cannot be touched by the Yamadutas. Om Ajnanatim Rangasya Jnana Jana Salakya Shakshurum Vitamina Tasmai Sri Guru Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Paramayam Tadati Swaparantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Sagrikatam Sarvana Raghunatantam Tamsudivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sarvana Garita Sri Vishakamukam Sa E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Shubhate Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakadvataru Yasha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitana Pavaniya Vaishnavebhyo Namo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavedanta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna.
Obeisance to all Vaishnavas assembled here. We speak from Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a very interesting and very dramatic session in Srimad Bhagavatam, this whole episode. So this is Yamaraja addressing to Yamadutas. Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, we have stories, but Srimad Bhagavatam is like multi-level stories. We heard of multi-level stories. Why? Because if you see here, this is the chapter begins with Parikshit Maharaj asking questions about what did Yamaraj reply to Yamadutas, which they encountered Yamadutas and Vishnu Dutas. So it's like multi-level storyline, if you see. But that's not a problem, because it doesn't matter which level you are, the content is same. It talks about bhakti and establish the supreme position of Krishna and the devotional service to him. So that is Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam is like that fruit which is seedless and no skin. And it compares in the first chapter of the first canto, they compare the whole Vedic literature as a tree. The whole Vedic, whatever you see. And this is one of the question also. The question by the sages is, can you tell us the essence of scripture? You know, there are variety of scriptures. What is the essence of scriptures? We have so many books, so many Puranas, so many Itihas, so many, you know, Veda, so many things are there. What is the essence? Because we don't have time, we don't have memory, we don't have lifetime, we don't have duration, we don't have any good qualities in Kali Yuga basically. Just come to the point, what is the essence? So this is a question of the sages. And if you see, that whole Vedic literature is compared to the tree. And Srimad Bhagavatam, the essence of the tree is the fruit. And that Srimad Bhagavatam is the fruit of the Vedic literature, and which doesn't have any skin or any seed. So it doesn't matter wherever you bite, it tastes the same sweet and nectar. So that's why, even though it has a multi-level of discussion going on same subject matter, explaining by different personalities, but still we don't miss the thread. We don't miss the point that too, the Supreme Lord has been glorified by many devotees. So that's why even though many speakers speaking every single day and single verse, we know the point that our devotion increases by hearing regular attendance to Srimad Bhagavatam, because that's how the heart is purified and our devotion to Krishna increases. So here, coming back to this episode, to order to understand this verse particularly, this verse is one of the answers to the question asked by the Yamadutas. Because they, and basically this is the chapter begins with Parikshit Maharaj asking questions to Sukadev Goswami, which is connection to the previous chapter, 22nd verse. Because if you see, most of the, even Arjuna, other, this theme is very prevalent in Gaudiya Vaishnava, that during the conversation they speak something and then the listener picks up a particular point. Can you explain that alone, because you know you just went a little fast, or can you, you know, like magnify that portion, right, you know. So what the previous, like, you know, what happened is Sukadeva Goswami said that Yamadutas went to Yamaraj and then he said whatever the whole thing happened and then he went point. Then now Parikshit Maharaj is asking, can you tell me what did Yamaraj to tell, you know? What did he do? What did he tell when the Yamadutas went and approached and told about the whole episode of capturing Ajamvilu, and Vishnuduta came and then, you know, cut the ropes and released him. So the Yamadutas went, you know. Now again, we'll discuss the situation of Yamadutas and then we'll discuss the situation of Yamaraj and then we'll discuss the answer which Yamaraj gives. So if we understand the context, then we can appreciate this verse and this section more nicely. So now we see the situation of Yamadutas. So this is a dishonor. Dishonor, the person who has been honored, a dishonor is worse than death. We know that in Bhagavad Gita. Now, if you see from the perspective of whether person is spiritual or not, two things are very agreeable on both the side, that these things what we gain is temporary, and the permanent thing, or the for sure it's going to happen, is death. As sure as death, that's what's said. The success rate of death is 100%, and the probability you're going to get is 100%. You will not, I mean, one of the future prediction we can tell everyone is that you're going to die. Very simple. And death is going to come. Death is for sure, 100%. Now, the situation of Yamadutas, please understand that they have never faced a defeat in their career. They have not seen a defeat at all. And they know, but this is death. Yamaraj is death personified. Yamadutas are death personified. They are coming to kill you, basically. And they know that everyone is going to die. And they are no, see, after all, if you are in the material world, that whatever course, whatever you follow, whatever you do, at the end of the day, you're going to die. And this is given by my controller, who is for sure is a death personified person. I mean, he's going to avoid the death. So obviously, he must be the supreme controller in this material world, because who can deny death? And they are representing the Yamaduta, say Yamaraj, who is the in charge of death, who is the human resource department, right? He makes the balance sheet right at the end of the day. So then Yamadutas going and they are in completely puzzled, they are completely bewildered, they are completely like couldn't be able to digest the fact that someone escaped death. It's like bewildering. Like, so for example, even you know in material world, if someone has a near-death experience or out-of-body experience or went to the clinically dead, and they come alive, people come in the newspaper, or people like, you know, how can you do this? Like, you know, they get interviewed, they get fascinated, they're like, you know, they die, they do a documentary on them. because no one can escape death, and it is never seen like this. So that's what the Yamadutas are faced when they went, and they get defeated. They taste the bitter fruit of the first defeat in their life, which is too much. And they know the records, the fact, the charge sheet, the FIR, whatever you call it. It shows the list of all the problems, all the sinful activities, and they have got the full evidence, and they have got the full rights to kill you, everything, but then you escape. Now, that is something which, you know, made them like really anger. They are very much anger, and not only that, because the Vishnu Dutas were speaking, they, more of them, you know, they are pointing out that this is your fault from your master's side. Well, he didn't tell you, like, you know, in terms of where are you guys being? You don't know what you're doing here. Just get out, like. So they were being insulted, they were being dishonored, and they were being defeated. So, and they got a lot of doubt about their roles and responsibilities now. Am I doing the right thing? Am I doing correct? What I'm supposed to do? So like they got a lot of confusion. And now their problem, now the thing is, they are no more concerned with Ajamil anymore. Forget about Ajamil now. Now they went to speak up Ajamil, and they went and they encountered the Vishnu Dutas. Now their focus is not Ajamil. Now their focus is who these guys are, who these Vishnu Dutas are. First let us fix this Vishnu Dutas, then we'll come back to Ajamil. Ajamil is always like a baby, you know. He's always going to come back because we have that fact. But now these people who have come in the middle, like sometimes, you know, in a movie or something, you go, like a villain or something sends, like, you know, 4-5 people to attack a person or something, and then all of a sudden hero comes. Now the whole plot and twist changes. Now who this guy actually in between he came? You know, that character is gone from the movie. The character now is the hero who rescued the people from the villain. Now the fight is between the villain and the hero. The original script was between someone who, you know, is a third party now. Now the problem is, who these people are? What is this? What is their problem? Who are they? Why they came? So this is what their focus is. Their focus has changed. And their mind is filled with these beautiful, powerful people. And they just, you know, spoil the whole thing. It's just bad, you know, bewildering. With that mindset, they are approaching Yamaraj. They want to challenge, actually. They want to challenge, and they want to doubt. And eventually, they want to quit. Not just the job, they want to finish their life. For them, the anger challenging is, now my master should punish these people, 4 people, before punishing Ajamil. My master should order that I would go them, bring these 4 people, punish them, finish it off, then we go to Ajamil, finish the punishment, reward. So that's their mood, they're challenging, and they say, their idea of Yamaraj is, Yamaraj is like the sun, who is the supreme person, number one, is the only one in this whole creation. But then now they're feeling, no, he is not like a sun, he is like a firefly now. Why would I serve a master who doesn't have power? So then they're with this full mentality and everything, they just gave a very loaded sarcasm question to Yamaraj. Fully loaded. Like imagine, you know, you're in the boss, you're sitting in a chair, and someone walking in straight away. Coming, bang, door, come first. First question asking, can you tell me who is the boss? Boss? You know, they're not even telling you the budget. Can you tell me who is the boss? Who is the person here? Who is the boss here? I want to know. Like you go into the CEO of the company and then you go knocking and then asking this question. Can you tell me who is the boss here? before anything he could answer, he said that then what they did is, this is a classical example of philosophical speculation. We heard about speculation, but in Bhagavad Gita also, you know, some of the chapters like the Jnana section or the 14th chapter onwards, Prabhupada also recommend that you need to understand this knowledge by philosophical speculation. Philosophical speculation means that coming to the right conclusion of what is given in the scripture. If you can able to pull up the fact or puzzle together and come to the right conclusion, then that speculation is bona fide. But if your speculation doesn't backed up by the conclusion given in the scripture, then that is mental speculation or illusion or whimsical of your mind. So that's where the differentiation is there. And this is a classic example of philosophical speculation. How do they come to that conclusion? So they have the sarcasm question, and then they have a philosophical speculation, and they come to the conclusion. So now when they have that sarcasm question, and then the Yamadutta are saying, so you told something which we meant to do, and there were other people who were coming to do something. So they were saying, I can understand that there are many controllers. We understand that. Because there are many living entities, there are different types of living entities according to the three modes of material nature, and then you need some kind of departments to manage that. We understand that there are many controllers. But these many controllers, then what happens? Either a person get, you know, the, like a reward or punishment that contradicts, he will not get anything, or he will get double. If many controllers, many justices are there, for example, then what happened? Someone is getting punished, and then someone say no, he has to be rewarded. Then that contradicts, and then that gone. Or otherwise, someone say punish, and other person also punish. Then the person will get double punishment or double reward. You know, we see that if a lower level court gets you punishment, then we go to the higher court, and they say okay, no punishment, and then they go to higher court, they get punishment. Keep going. You know, by the time they go to the final supreme, the life is finished. Anyway, so, but that nature doesn't work like that. The Yamadutta said that we know there are many controllers, that is not a problem. But what we came to know, or where we conclude, is there has to be a supreme controller. And not only that, that supreme controller, you are not the supreme controller. So this is like a double blow to Yamaraj. So they were saying, we know that many controllers are, you are one of the controllers. There has to be a supreme controller, and that supreme controller, you are not that supreme controller, we came to know. So that's how they have come to, you know, understanding. Okay, there's something happening here. So that is philosophical speculation, because they came to know that supreme, there has to be one person in charge. There's a supreme justice where everyone is following. And they came to know that you are not that supreme controller, because their order has not been executed, which Yamaraj gave to them. So, now, and then what happened? So earlier when they went to Ajamil, their focus was Ajamil. And then they came across this Vishnu Duta. Then their focus changed from Ajamil to Vishnu Duta. Now their focus is not Vishnu Dutas. Their focus is, who is that supreme controller? I want to know. So this is like, you know, going to the root cause of the problem. This is amazing, because you know, Bhagavatam or the scripture, they are not very superficial in one sense. They are not just say, okay, fine, this happened, okay, let us move on. Interesting story, okay, let's go. Have fun. But this is like something which we can apply in our life as well. They are not stopping there. They want to go to the very core detail of what is and who. Because they want to know the cause of all causes. This is how our philosophy is. We want to know who is the cause of all causes. Who is the supreme person? What is the cause? So they want to know. Who is the supreme controller? We want to know. Getting to the root of the problem. So now the change from Ajamil to Vishnu Dutta to the supreme controller. And then that they know very well. that you are not that supreme controller. You are not the supreme controller. So they have this kind of challenging mentality, and they are doubting, and they're a little bit angry. And then they say, who are these people? Where do they live? What do they do? Who are these people? Because for them, they want their master to punish these four people. So they said, either you punish these people or we are going to give up our life. We have only two options. Either you chastise them or punish them, or we are going to give up this life. But before we give up our life, we want to know the details of these people. We are not just going to, give up. So that is why is more upsetting is for the Yamadutas. If you see, as they were going to Ajamil and they have all the rights, valid points to getting the job done, Vishnu Dutas has appeared just because they're just elaborating, or they're just speaking to Yamaraj. They said, we were going and this Ajamil said Narayan, and these people appeared from nowhere, and they came and they said, do not fear, do not fear. So this is like, man, wait a second. This is what Yamadutas are going through. This guy is fearfully sitting, fear, and he has done all the sinful activities, everything, and he's fully fear. And this guy is saying, hey, do not fear, do not fear, we'll take care. It's like, exactly like, you're going to some place or to get someone, so for example, in our place is very common, like if some people gang going to beat someone or something. And then when they go into a boat to beat or something, punish, then the other guys say, hey, we'll take care, do not fear, I'll take care. Who are you? Get up. Right? And then that becomes like an insulting thing. Come on, wait, this is like a complete paradox for them. This guy is fully fear, we came here, we are fully, And one of the reasons is, they said to Yamaraj that these people are very attractive. So the Acharya, the Prabhupada also write, that seems that the Yamadutas are not very attractive. So then they went and this guy said, do not fear, do not fear. It's like for them, it becomes like a life or death. Either you get this guy is punished or I'm going to die. I cannot take this anymore. But I want to know who these people are. So then, this is the question they ask. Who are these people? Where are they from? What are they doing? What are their activities are? We want to know. Then we will give. Now, coming to Yamaraj. So, Yamaraj was not giving it back equally. He was not acting like a materialistic leader in terms of victimizing the person who raised the issue, and they get, someone raised the issue, we don't scold them. How did you find? Why did you find? Can you do your work properly? So he was a perfect leader because he was absorbing everything. This is like a good leader. We see time and again that anything goes wrong, he takes the responsibility or credit for that. But anything goes good, he pass it on to the team. So then here Yamaraj, if you see, first is we should not be taking sides here. We should understand Yamaraj is also Vishnu Dutta in one sense. Vishnu Dutta is the carriers of Vishnu, is that right? Dutta means messenger or the carriers. Because everyone playing their roles and part in the creation. And Vishnu Dutas are carrying the messengers. Similarly, Yamadutas Yamaraj is also a great Mahajan. He is also Vishnu Duta because he is carrying the orders of Krishna.
in the universal maintenance of creation. In that sense, he is also a great Vaishnava. And one of the key lessons is never doubt a bona fide spiritual master. Never doubt. Because the action, we are not in the situation where we can completely comprehend the activities of a pure devotee. We cannot process in our brain because they are completely transcendental, and it looks apparently a mundane activity, but they are in a completely different platform. So never doubt a bona fide spiritual master. Because if you see, Yamaraj was not angry, but he was repentful. He was feeling bad, the sense that I couldn't able to tell the full knowledge or full information of who that person or who they are. In fact, when the Yamadutas told that Ajamil called out the name Narayan, that created a trance or ecstatic in Yamaraj when he heard Narayan. So when they say Narayan, then Yamaraj's reply was, "Did you say Narayan? Did you just say Narayan?" So many things they said, but the first thing is, "Yamaraj, did you say Narayan? That's amazing. That glory is." So he knows exactly what to do. You know, one of the snippet was listening to Nita Sevi Mataji. She was saying, "You should know what to do when you don't know what to do. You should know what to do when you don't know what to do." So that means she's saying you should take the shelter of the Lord. That's what you have to do. You should know when things come up where you don't know what to do. So here, if you see Yamaraj, he was repentful. He was feeling sorry for these people, that they were not able to. They were in ignorance or they don't know. I mean, he was repenting that I should have given more. I should have told them. And he was happy in a sense that Narayan. Did you say Narayan? He is the Supreme God. How does a Vaishnava react? So this is a lesson from Yamaraj. A Vaishnava reacts, he sees opportunity where he can glorify the Supreme Lord, and he begs forgiveness for the offense created by these people or his disciple or his dependents. Even the same Supreme Lord who, you know, in the third canto, if you see the four Kumaras and Jayan Vijay, he came and he glorified the Vaishnava, the four Kumaras, and he begged forgiveness for the offense created by someone else on their behalf. This is such an amazing gesture by the Supreme Lord. So same here, Yamaraj, he is glorifying the Supreme Lord. And then he is feeling that these people have committed offense at the lotus feet of Vaishnavas and the Supreme Lord. That will be a greater reprecation than whatever this whole scenario has happened. So he was feeling so bad, and then he was saying to answer to that question of who these people are, where I can see, where are they? So he started explaining. The first thing is Yamaraj saying, very straightforward, not beating the bush. It's not like, yeah, you know, there are many controllers, I have certain powers, and I, you know, there are many other, you know, certain area I have power, you know, don't worry, I'll fix it. No, he's not beating the bush here. He's just coming to the point. Yes, you said Narayan. Yes, he is a supreme person. Not only that, me or Brahma or Shiva or Indra or Vayu, any demigod. You see any department, we are all department controllers. We are not the supreme controllers. Demigod, the great rishis, the sadhus, the saints and the devatas, everyone has to obey the law given by the Supreme Lord. Krishna is the cause of all causes. He is the supreme. There is no doubt about it. Krishna is the supreme controller. Straight to the point. Straightforward, he told them. And then he didn't feel bad about that. He was feeling happy because he could have an opportunity to preach the glory of the Supreme Lord to the people.
So that's what Yamaraj is doing. First, he said there is a supreme controller, his name is Krishna, and all are departmental controllers. We are not the supreme. And not only that, everyone is acting according to the words given by the Supreme Lord in the Vedas. Every living entity, according to the modes of material nature, where the varna and ashram is there, and they're acting according to the words, which is nothing but the given in Vedas by the Supreme Lord. Prescribed duties are given. And that what makes them bound, the name and the action, or the varna and the activities, is actually cause bound. It's a bounding according to activities. But the same activities, a prescribed duties, is performed for the pleasure of the Vishnu. That's where it's sacrifice. Third chapter Bhagavad Gita, we know. Sacrifice is born out of prescribed duties. And grain comes from sacrifice, yajna, and then grain comes from rain. And that grain is again offered, otherwise you will eat in very much sin. So we talk about that discussion there in third chapter. So the prescribed duty is given. So then when that prescribed duty is performed, or for the glorification, or only for the purpose of liberation, this is again first canto, that dharma has to be performed for liberation. Occupation has to be performed, a dharma or religion has to be followed only for the purpose of liberation. If it's not meant for material opulence or material gain, dharma should never be performed for material gain or for sense gratification. So that whatever occupation or whatever, you know, when we say, okay, we have senses, we have, that has to be for self-preservation. Right? Sense gratification or money or material gain or opulence, everything is meant for self-preservation. That means to keep the body and soul together. Otherwise, dharma has to be performed for liberation. So here then, he says, these are the activities, you know, the whole, everyone is controlled by these activities. And he gives an example, a classic example of the eyes in the whole body. We have the limbs, different limbs cannot see the eyes, but actually the eye gives the direction to go forward by the limbs. That is the position of the super soul, the supreme lord. So basically he is answering the question, where do I see? That answer is, he is present like the super soul, you cannot see him. How can we understand Krishna? How can we see Krishna? Not by material senses. He gives an example of the eyes, it's a very particular, very nice example. And he gives another example, like the cloth. You see a cloth, you see this cloth is there, but then if you see the very fabric of this cloth, is the thread which is running horizontal and vertical. That is the Supreme Lord. In the same Bhagavad Gita we see, Matar Parutramanyat, Kinchidasya Janajaya, Sutre Manikana Yuvam. That you see the pearls, but you don't see the thread which is running, you know, behind that pearls, which is holding that pearls. Similarly, the cloth, if it's formed because there is the thread which is running parallelly and vertically. So similarly, that's the Supreme Lord. You cannot see him. So he's saying, he's giving the example, who is that person? What is his action, activities, and how can you see? Everything is telling. So this is another strategy of explaining things. We see this in, sometimes, that in order to explain, you explain the known object very well. And then finally, you say this object equal to that. That means A equal to B, B equal to C, that implies A equal to C. So this is the logic. So he, Yamaraj, started explaining about Vishnu or the Lord Vishnu. He is all pervading. He is a super soul, but you cannot see him. But he is present everywhere. He is like the eyes. He is giving the rules or the codes or the religion. And that's how everyone is acting according to their modes. And he is a supreme controller. Everyone is bowing to them. Now, in this verse, he is saying, those Vishnu Dutas are as good as Vishnu. So don't think Vishnu Dutas are normal people. Vishnu Dutas are worshipped by the Devatas who are running the material affairs. So Yamaraj educating the Yamadutas, at the same time a subtle chastisement, at the same time he is trying to make them aware of the serious offense they were committed. So everything is happening by just explaining this verse. So this verse, now if you read this verse, he is saying, so he is glorifying. So this verse and the next verse, he is giving some qualities for the Vishnu Dutas. He is explaining the Vishnu, certain the first two lines of this verse, and the next two lines about the qualities of the Vishnu Dutas. And the next verse is only the qualities of the Vishnu Dutas. So he is saying, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is self-sufficient and fully independent. Swaraj, Abhijna Swaraj, this is how the Bhagavatam is starting. The Supreme Lord is Swaraj, is independent and all cognizant. He knows everything and he is independent. He is not dependent. So he is completely self-sufficient, Atmaram. He is fully independent. He is the master of everyone and everything, including the illusion. So he is basically, he is now from Bhagavad Gita, he is the master of superior and the inferior energy. Whatever we see, this is a combination of only two, Kshetra and Kshetrajna, 13th chapter. When we see things, there is only two things are there, only Kshetra, that is a field of activities and the knower of the field of activities. That's all, the whole creation is done. So then, he is the controller, he has his form, but at the same time, he has a form, quality and feature. So he is not impersonal, he is pervading all where, everywhere, but at the same time, he has a form. We see that he is everywhere, at the same time he is outside and he is inside. He has eyes, legs, you know, hands everywhere, but at the same time he is present in your heart. He is very, very far, but at the same time he is very near. Right? So that is Achinta Veda Abheda Tattva. Oneness and difference at the same time. So then similarly his order carries. So now you see whatever explanation was given to the Yamadutas, and then he is comparing the same order carries also. They are Vaishnavas who are very beautiful, possess bodily features, transcendental qualities, and a transcendental nature almost like his, that is the Supreme Lord. Everything. So we are qualitatively one. We, the living entity, is same, equal to the Supreme Lord in quality, not quantity. In quality, we are. That's why they are so beautiful. They are so powerful because their bodily feature, when they see, they saw this person is so powerful, is so beautiful because they are same as Vishnu. They are the four arms, they are the Chandana, Chakra, Gada, Padma. They are everything, right? So they are beautiful and they always wander within this world with full independence. So you cannot go and bring him here. So the answer to the question is, you know, I told them they are everywhere. They are totally independent. They are not bound by like this, you know, where we can go and call Ajami like that, you know, with the rope. They can do, they can go anywhere in this three worlds. They are totally independent. They are not bound by the laws of material nature because they are transcendental. And they are same as the Supreme Lord and you have affronted them. So this is what, you know, Yamaraj is trying to tell to. Since Vishnu is above Yamaraj, the Vishnu Dutas are above the Yamadutas. Person protected by the Vishnu Dutas therefore cannot be touched by the Yamadutas. So that's one of the point the Prabhupada meaning that Ajamil was protected by Vishnu Dutas so that the Yamadutas cannot touch her. So that's how the you know the question is answered in this verses. I'll just stop here and see if anyone has any questions or comments or correction of what we discussed today. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.